Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm happy to tell you it's Inspirational Truth time once again. And I greet you as always in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Oh, I want Him to be yours. He can be yours. In fact, Luke 19:10 tells us He came to seek and to save that which is lost. So, He came to be yours. If you'll trust in Him, if you'll repent of your sin by faith, receive Christ as your Savior. I'm going to tell you something, friend. He'll save you. He does a glorious job at it. And we sing a song on occasion. The title of it is, down at church, I've never been sorry. And I'll tell you what, you come to trust Christ as your Savior, and you'll never be sorry. Or you may be like a lot of us who profess the name and claim the name of Jesus. Every now and then we are a sorry Christian. We don't do a good job as an ambassador of heaven. We fail. We still have the old nature that we were born with, and we'll get rid of one of these days. One time God told Moses that He would finally bring Amalek to its end, and He has. And Amalek was a type of the flesh, and one day He'll bring it to an end in our life too. Well, I'm glad you've tuned in. I really am. I turned my Bible to the book of Titus, right after 2 Timothy, right before the book of Philemon, and just as soon as Debbie does the song that we've got picked out, well, I'll turn back there and I'll share the message with you that God has laid on my heart. Glad that you've tuned in today. Glad that you've made a choice to join us here on Inspirational Truth. And I hope our time together will be a blessing. Debbie's going to talk to you about being fastened to the rock. I hope you are.
Oh, sometimes my hope looks dim, but my faith must be in Him. Looking for answers to come while I wait. But I know one thing for sure, in Jesus Christ I am secure. And I know I am fastened to the rock. I am fastened to the rock. My find sweet peace, this I know. For He tells me to be still, and He will show me His will. I must wait upon the Lord and stand on the rock. Renewed, Lord, my strength, it comes from You, and I know with You that I'll carry on. For my anchor holds fast to this rock that will ever last. How blessed I am to be fastened to the rock. To the rock of
job, Debbie. I appreciate that. Appreciate the message of that grand song. Thank God. Listen, are you fastened to the rock? Hey, I'll tell you, you need to be on the rock, or the rock one day is going to be on you. That's what the Word of God would teach. The Word of God would teach that if you fall on the rock, you'll be broken to pieces. But if the rock falls on you, you'll be ground to powder in judgment. Well, that's another message for another day. Certainly it is. Like I told you, I've opened my Bible, the book of Titus. I'm going to read the first five verses of this great personal letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to this young man in the ministry. He said, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God, of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth. Now watch this, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God, our Savior, to Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And he said, for this cause, now watch this, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. I'm going to talk to you today for a little while about this thought. Three things that every church needs. Three things that every church needs. I don't know about you, but I thank God for the church of Jesus Christ. I thank God for the church that is purchased with His blood, empowered by His Spirit, entrusted the Word of God to for safekeeping, for propagation, for our learning, and for our edification. I'm glad for the Word of God He has given to us to instruct us, the Spirit of God to guide us, to convict us, to convince us, to enlighten us, to enable us, to minister to us. I'm glad for the church of Jesus Christ, aren't you? Thank God. Listen, there's just one church. Do you hear me? There is just one church, and it's not something that man has made. It's not a denomination. It's not a name that somebody has decided to put over the door. I'm telling you, it's the church of God. It's the church of Jesus Christ. It's the church according to what Paul said, Luke recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 28. He said that Christ is purchased with His own blood. And Paul said, hey, Titus, listen, son, I've sent you here to Crete. You've got the stuff to get the job done. This church down here, these people that, well, they're unique people. They're not the easiest people to understand, not the easiest people to get along with. They've got their traditions, their ideas, and their philosophies. They need a man of God. They need somebody like you, Titus, to go down there, set things in order. Thank God, I'm glad for God's men, aren't you? I'm glad, thank God, for God's men, and I'm glad for the Apostle Paul, who is moved by the Spirit of God, to send this young man who was subject to the leadership of the Spirit, subject to the leadership that God has put in his life. Can I tell you something, sir, ma'am? I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. You can never learn to lead until you've learned to follow. Do you hear me? Do you hear the Spirit of God speaking to you? You can never learn to lead. You can never be a leader until you've learned to follow. And Titus was submissive to God. Now Paul knew that Timothy was down in Ephesus and he was doing a good work there. And Paul knew too the difference between Titus and Timothy, their personality, their character, their individual person. And Paul knew who to send where to do what. But Paul encouraged this man by the name of Titus. After Titus got down there, maybe he carried the letter with him. I'm not quite sure how it got there, how Titus or how Timothy was or Paul was moved right to Titus. But I'll tell you what, it was just what Titus needed. it, and I believe, bless God, if it was good for the church down at Crete, if it was good for the church where Titus was pastoring, where he was there to do some things of the church, I believe the reason it's recorded and preserved in the Word of God, it'll be good for us. Oh, we're living in a strange day. We're living in a time when the church that Jesus purchased with His blood is being transformed. Do you know that? We're living in what is known as the church age, the age of grace. But I'll tell you what, we're living in a time when the church is changing with the idea of pragmatic church philosophy or emergent church ideology. And I'm telling you, I don't believe it's pleasing with God. I'm telling you, I believe it's a manifestation of the last days of the church of Jesus Christ on earth. I believe, friend, we can see its picture or its reflection, if you will, in the book of Revelation chapter 3, beginning with verse 14, when Jesus sent His letter to the church of Laodicea. But let's look at this message God has given to us today. Three things every church needs. Oh, I'll tell you, friend, we need some things, do we not? You'll find these three things in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3 of the book of Titus. Look, I'm going to kind of give you an overview, and the first one is, hey, the first thing that every church needs is to be orderly. Somebody say amen right there. It needs to be orderly. And listen to what I'm going to say. But I'm talking about order. I believe there ought to be order. I mean, listen, God never did anything that's a bunch of confusion. God never did anything that wasn't orderly. When God began to create, thank God, when He put the sun, the moon, the stars in the sky, all the planets, all of those things that are in space, that are part of the universe, from the black hole to the Milky Way, everything else, boy, He set them in order, did He not? He set those things in order. And I'm telling you, friend, listen, in the church that is purchased with His blood, empowered by His Spirit, that great entity that He loves, that's the bride of Christ. Thank God He means for it to run orderly too. Do you hear? Hey, friend, I'll tell you, not just anything will do. I'm not talking about, friend, that it's bad or that you've got to sit down and order a service to where it's so structured that the Spirit of God is left outside. No, sir. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about people being in the right place, being all of them submissive to the Spirit of God, being all of them obedient to the Word of God, all of us being subject to one another, all of us being subject to God and His Word and His will. Thank God, I'll tell you what, every church needs to be run orderly and to be orderly. He said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40, I believe it is, He said, let all things be done decently and in order. And He said that to a church, did He not? A church where there was a lot of confusion. A church where everybody just thought they could do it their way. Or a church where they just thought that any old way would do. And Paul wrote after he set them straight about the gifts of the Spirit and how that they ought to orderly be expressed manifest in the church that Jesus purchased with His blood. When He got down through chapter 12, He picked up chapter 13 and said, look, here's the thing that's most important. Chapter 14, he set confusion straight, and He ends His little discourse there by saying, let all things be done decently and in order. When Paul wrote to Timothy back over in the first letter that bears his name, he said this in verse 14 and following. He said, these things have I written unto you, hoping to come unto you shortly. But, he said, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God. Well, I'll tell you what, listen, that'll preach right there. Do you hear? Everything we ought to do ought to be for the glory of God. Everything that we do ought to be seasoned by the Spirit of of God. Everything that we do ought to be the result of the leadership of the Spirit. Everything that we do ought to be seasoned with prayer. Thank God, I'm telling you, it ought to be done right. It ought to be done for the glory of God and the good of man, not the glory of man and the good of God. I'm telling you, everything that's done in a church needs to be done orderly. Number two, and I could stay on number one all day. But number two, bless God, something that every church needs is to be sound in doctrine. Somebody say amen right there. Hey, listen, friend, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that the day would come, and I believe it's here, that they'll not listen, that they'll not endure sound doctrine. Well, the word doctrine scares some people to death. Do you hear me? I'm telling you, you go to some places and some pastors that kind enough to invite you into the pulpit, they'll get you off to the side before you get ready to preach, and they'll say, "Now listen, we don't preach doctrine here." Well, bless God, I wonder what they do preach if they don't preach doctrine. A doctrine means teachings, and you know that. And I'm telling you, friend, listen, no church, I don't care who you are, can stand, bless God, very long unless they're standing on the Word of God, unless they're building upon the apostles' doctrine, unless they're building upon that body of truth that Jesus gave to the church, that Jude said, "Hey, boys, in the end, you better contend for it." I'm telling you, every church needs to be sound in doctrine. They need to be sound in the Word of God, rightly divided. Paul told Timothy, he said, "Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth." And can I tell you, if you don't have a King James Bible, your Bible may not tell you to study in that verse, 2 Timothy 2:15. You say, "Why?" Well, the devil doesn't want you to study the Bible, sir. The devil doesn't want you to study the Bible, ma'am. I'm telling you, every church needs to be sound in doctrine. Do you know that what we believe determines how we behave? Did you know that? What we believe determines how we behave. And I'll tell you, if in the beginning, when the church was inaugurated at Pentecost, and the Bible said in the book of Acts chapter 2, maybe verse 41 or 42, I'm not looking at it, and they continued in the apostles' doctrine. I'm telling you, if it was necessary for them when this thing got started, it's necessary for us today. When Paul was going on to speak to this man Titus in chapter 2 of this great book that bears Titus's name. Listen to what he said in verse 1. "Bespeak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Listen to what he said in verse 10. "Not prolonging, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior in all things." Boy, I'll tell you, friend, if you don't have sound doctrine rightly divided from the Word of God, you've got nothing but confusion and trouble and problems. Oh, listen, friend, everybody can't be right. Paul said this in Philippians 1:17. He said, "I'm set for the defense of the gospel." And when he began to write the letter to the Galatians, you know what he was doing? He was defending the gospel of the grace of God against another gospel, which was not another gospel. I'm telling you, we've got to know the book. We've got to get in the book until the book gets in us. Paul said, "Listen, I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course." Oh, friend, listen, we have got to stand on true doctrine, on the doctrine of the Word of God. Hey, we've got to know it. We've got to adorn it. And we've got to defend it. But we also, according to the Word of God, we must defend it. In the book of 2 Timothy, in chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, Paul told Timothy, he said, "Hold fast the form of words, sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us." In Acts chapter 2, he said, we're to know it. In Titus 2:1, we're to adorn it. In Philippians 1:17, we're to to defend it. In 2 Timothy 4, I bless God, we're to defend it. In the book of 2 Timothy 1 and 13 and 14, we're to preserve it. In the book of 2 Timothy 1, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, we're to pass it on. Paul told Timothy, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." I'm telling you, friend, listen, three things every church needs. Number one is to be orderly. Number two, to be sound in doctrine. Number three, to be pure in its living. Listen to what Paul told Titus to tell his people in chapter 1 or chapter 3. Well, let me look and see. Where they're at. Look at verse 1. It is in Titus 1 and 1. And he said this, "Paul, servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and according to," watch this, "and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness." Now listen to me closely here. Listen to the Word of God closely here. If the doctrine that you're following, if the teachings that are in your church aren't provoking you to godliness, they aren't provoking you, I bless God, to be separated spiritually and ecclesiastically, if they're not, listen, bringing about a change from your old nature to the new, I'm telling you, you've got the wrong thing. He said in verse 15 of chapter 1 of Titus, "Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God." Watch this. "They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and wicked, and unto every good work reprobate." I believe the Word of God tells us to come out from among the world and be a separate people, thus saith the Lord. I listen to what He said in verse 3 of Titus. He said in verse 3, "For we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." And it goes on in verse 4, and I'm about to shout right now. But he said, "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Well, you say, "Preacher, what's Paul saying right there?" Well, it's simply but emphatically, we're a new creature in Christ. We've been born again. And I'm telling you, friend, if you profess Christ and there's not been a change in you, well, I'm going to tell you, ma'am, sir, there's been no change. Listen to what Paul said in the book 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Now watch this. "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God." I'm telling you, every church needs to be orderly. Every church needs to be doctrinally sound. And every church needs to be morally pure. I'm telling you, we need to come out from among the world. And we're not to fashion ourselves, Peter said, according to the former lust of this world and of the flesh. Do you hear the Spirit of God? He says in that same passage in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, he said, "Be ye holy, be ye holy, be ye holy." He just says it one time. I said it three to emphasize. "Be ye holy," he said, "for I am holy." Listen, friend, you can't live any old way you want and have any kind of testimony. Listen, friend, I'm telling you, if you've been washed by the Spirit of God, by the Word Spirit of God, and you've experienced that regeneration that Titus 3 and 5 talks about, the washing of regeneration, that means palingenesia, that means you've had a new birth. But boy, listen, if you claim to be saved, and you live like the world, you smell like them, you dress like them, you talk like them, you act like them, the reason is you are like them, bless God, is because you're of them. Oh, friend, listen, I need more time with this. Time's run out, but I'll tell you, it's not run out for you. If you need to repent, repent. If you need to get right with God. Go there now, repent, and say, oh, God, help me get right in the order that I worship you. Help me get right in my doctrine from you, and help me get right in my living for you. We need these things. They aren't just simply an option. They're a necessity. Well, until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TomAndDebbie@inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.